Welcome, welcome, welcome to everybody's favorite cinema podcast, Looking California, Fear, Minnesota. My name is Michael McCaffrey. I'm the Looking California portion of the program. I am a stunningly handsome young man who works as a writer and acting coach in sunny Southern California. And I'm joined by Barry Anderson, Mr. Feeling Minnesota, who has joined us this morning. He's a very successful storyteller, director, cinematographer, just all around cinema guy who is, he literally wrote the book on digital filmmaking, like literally. Anyway, and now he's all sheepish. Look at him.
A New York Times bestseller. No, it was not a New York Times bestseller. We didn't sell any copies in the instructional book world.
Yes. So today we are doing, again, last week or this week, the Oscar nominations came out. So we're doing sort of recapping the Oscar nominees and the Best Picture nominees. We did Killers of the Flower Moon already. Our next one is the massive, biggest hit of the year, the box office champion, Barbie, the movie. Barbie is, of course, directed by Greta Gerwig and written by Gerwig and her husband, Noah Baumbach. The film stars Margot Robbie as Barbie, Ryan Gosling as Ken. It also stars America Ferrera, Kate McKinnon, Issa Rae, Rhea Perlman, Will Ferrell. It is shot by Rodrigo Prieto, who we've recently spoken about. The movie came out July 21st here in the United States. I saw it, I think, in its third week of release. Barry, I think, just saw it recently. It is currently streaming on Max. It has a budget of $145 million. I would say its marketing was at least twice that. And it brought in $1.446 billion. It was an enormous movie. Huge. The film basically tells the story of Barbie, you know, the doll. And she lives in Barbie Land, which is this utopia. And then all of a sudden, the real world sorts of imposes itself on her and pops into her head. And she is Barbie, who has an existential crisis. And then she goes to the real world and confronts the real world, and it's certainly not what you thought it would be. It's a patriarchal hellhole, unlike Barbie Land, which is a matriarchal society populated by all the different types of Barbies. And then the real world comes to Barbie Land, and that's the story. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Why are you looking at me like I gave you some sort of like threat by nature of how to describe
it? I'm not sure what else I can really say about the plot of Barbie. So the film is nominated for, let me get this right because I screwed this up last time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I was right before.
You were right. 7 Academy Awards. They are Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor for Ryan Gosling, Best Supporting Actress for America Ferrera, Best Adapted Screenplay for Gerwig and Baumbach, Best Costume Design, Best Production Design, and Best twice for Best Original Song, I'm Just Ken and What Was I Made For, which was written by Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connell, and then I'm Just Ken was written by Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt. Okay. So there's been a lot of controversy about the Academy Awards and Barbie because Greta Gerwig was not nominated for Best Director and Margot Robbie was not nominated for Best Actress. We will get into that sort of business. But let's start off with this. Barry, tell me when you saw Barbie and what you thought of Barbie.
I recently watched Barbie on a plane back from one of my jobs. So it's maybe not the best viewing environment for said film. Give you some context. I believe the two most underserved largest groups of people on planet Earth in terms of movies are movies directed at women and at families. And every time a movie comes out that checks those boxes and becomes this instant juggernaut, and everyone's like, whoa, I didn't see this coming. I'm like, then you're dumb. Because, like, literally, I mean, Titanic came in and everyone's like, whoa, women are showing out in droves. And $2 billion later, and they're like, wait, where did that come from? So I'm never surprised by the success. And this movie clearly is aimed at a female audience, because I think, I don't know what percentage, if it's 60, 70, 80, 90, 100% of all girls played with Barbies. And so there's all kinds of inside jokes and things that, like, I just, when I was watching the movie, I assumed the dog that pooped, I'm like, oh, that must have been a Barbie accessory. Otherwise, it's weird that it's in this movie. And then right. I realized, like, yes, that was a toy. And growing up in the 80s, let me tell you, the weird toys that they made and gave and sold to us and marketed to us, now as an adult, I'm like, what adults were in the room thinking, like, this is what we should do for children? And so I just had to assume that for most women, this movie was like what I thought when Transformers came out. Because Transformers is one of the seminal, you know, that and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I got a whole lot earlier in life, back in the 90s, got my first taste of that. And when Transformers came out, I was excited, but I was also terrified, because I'm like, don't screw it up. Because when you create a world in your own head that you fall in love with, then it's like, I feel like all of my friends that are big book readers, one of the reasons that most people who read books don't like movies that are made from books is because in the book, the character looks a certain way. The story goes a certain way. This person's like this, and then someone else kind of imposes structure. So I feel like Barbie, like, you have that seminal, like, this is your structure. You have the Barbie doll. You have the world. You have the, you know, the pink Corvette. You have your, you know, Barbie land. But then every girl played with it differently. Which ones did they have? Which accessories didn't they have? But, you know, so I just thought it would be interesting, like, boy, that's like a whole world. And obviously being sponsored by Mattel, we're going to get as many of those things into the movie as possible, even if you didn't have them. Because growing up buying Star Wars toys, I could tell you the Star Wars toys that most of us had and the ones that we wished that we had that none of us could afford. And then we also know it's entertainment, so they're going to just make a story off it. So I didn't know what to think of this movie. And since I saw it late, I've heard people say it's the best movie, you know, ever, and it was so much fun. And I've heard people say this is movie's trash. And so I was like, I'm going to try to tune all that out and just watch it for what it is. And it's a Greta Gerwig movie.
Gerwig?
Yeah, not Gerwig.
Gerwig. How cool would that be? If
I was watching Maestro again last night, so I'm mixing it. Greta Gerwig movie. And as we've talked about in the past, she, you know, she's going to have a long career and make lots of money for people, and she's not nearly as bad as George Clooney. But it's in the category of, you know, someone that's just going to make movies, and she gets to do what she wants. And, you know, you make a movie that makes $1.44 billion. And in Hollywood, that basically gets you licensed to do whatever you want. But this movie, I don't think was aimed at me. I don't think when they sat down, they were like, when Barry watches this movie, this is it. So I can talk specifics of what I liked or didn't like, but yeah, that's kind of my initial reaction.
Fair enough. So I saw the movie, like I said, I think it was in its third week of release. I went on a Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. I had to drive quite a distance to get there. My wife and I went and saw it. I really had no interest in seeing it, because, like you say, like, so for me, when I used to work at RT, I would have to write about stuff like this. Like, it's just part of the job. I don't work there anymore. So I don't have to write about these sorts of things. I can write about what I feel like writing about. So I saw, leading up to the release of Barbie, the marketing was brilliant. There were probably six articles I would have written for RT before the film was ever released. There was the whole Margot Robbie isn't attractive thing on Twitter, like people arguing about this. Just the most inane horseshit ever, right? Like, who's like, oh, fucking Margot Robbie, yuck. Like, what is, it's so obviously contrived, but like people get pissed about it. So it's like, oh, fuck you, she's hot. No, she isn't. Like, come on. But I would have written about it back when I worked at RT, because they would have said, like, hey, you should write about this. So I was sort of glad to not have to deal with it, because, you know, I want to write what I want to write about. I don't want to write about things that don't interest me. So Barbie didn't interest me. And then it became this enormous thing, this huge hit. People are going crazy for it. And then my wife's like, oh, you know what? I think I want to see it. I'm like, okay, let's go see it. So we go watch it. And like I said, it's 10 a.m. showing at this faraway movie theater, a very good movie theater, thankfully. Sold out on a Tuesday, 10 a.m., third week. Absolutely packed. We had thankfully gotten tickets like the end, the Friday before we bought them. And the place is packed. All these people wearing pink. You know, it's obviously a vast majority of women. There are a few guys. There were a bunch of middle-aged women there wearing pink. One woman was wearing just a pink t-shirt, like a big, long t-shirt. Like barely, yeah, it barely covered everything that needed to be covered.
Got it.
And it was rather jarring. Then there was like the you know, teenage girls and their pink, and the one dude I saw, there were actually two of them. It made me so sad. Decked out in pink, they were obviously in the friend zone and were trying desperately to get into the non-friend zone with these girls they were with, and they thought this humiliation ritual would help. I don't think it did. that's just my opinion. I can't prove that one way or the other. So we see the movie, and the movie opens with this really great sequence. I mean, just brilliant. And it's a takeoff of Kubrick's 2001, and the Barbie is basically like the obelisk, you know, and it changes, you know, girls and how they play and how they conceive themselves and things. And I thought, okay, this is going to be something. And I was psyched. And then the actual movie starts. And we're in Barbie Land, and it's stupid. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this is just some sort of shallow entertainment, fine, you know, whatever. Just go along for the ride. And I just thought, well, this is really not good. The best thing in the movie, by far, is Ryan Gosling as Ken. He is fantastic in that role. It's easily the best role in the movie, which is ironic. And he crushes it. There were a few points that I thought was funny, and they all involved Ryan Gosling, all of them. The movie makes it very clear what its intention is. It is aggressively feminist film. That's cool. It's a movie about Barbie. Good for her. But its politics are so vapid and so vacuous as to be sort of astonishing. And the way it sort of sets up its argument is really insidious. And the argument it sets up is quite insipid. But when the movie ended, I had no idea what my wife would think. And my wife, she's a feminist, and she's, she's gonna tell you what she thinks. And I turned to her and I said, "Hey," I said, "Oh, so what'd you think?" And the first word she said to me was, "It was damaging." And I was really surprised.
Wow.
And I said, "How so?" And we are parents of a boy. That must be said. I am a boy, almost a man, but
Debatable.
still, right. I mean, I'm getting there. She just found it really horrifying how it set up the world and was teaching young girls and women how to view the world, how to view men and boys, and reinforcing this really, I mean, the only way I can say it is insidious notion among older women that are so enamored with the film. And there's this famous monologue in the film spoken by America Ferrera. It's about how it's literally impossible to be a woman. That's how it starts. Then she goes through and lists all the ways it's literally impossible. And I think that monologue is horribly written. It's so trite and frankly banal. And the way it's delivered is terrible. I think America Ferrera sucks in this movie. I don't understand how she's nominated. But all of that can combined, I felt the same way as my wife did, which is, wow, for a piece of pop culture stuff, this is really toxic for its politics. Now, there's lots of movies I don't like their politics, cultural politics. I mean, I really don't care about regular politics, but the cultural politics of things, that happens quite a bit. With war films, for instance, that happens quite a bit because I happen to be somebody who is would be described as anti-war. And every fucking TV show and movie made is like, "Oh, we're anti-war." No, you're not. Like, you cut the shit. This is made by the Pentagon. Just shut the fuck up. And this is made by a corporation, Mattel, which just wants to sell dolls, wants to expand its brand, wants to make money by, making movie versions of its toys. And so it uses this cookie cutter, quote unquote feminism, this human resources feminism, to sort of play to signal its virtue and to pander to make money, and people lap it up. So as opposed to challenging an audience about what that means, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a man, what it means to have a relationship between a man and a woman, it just sort of panders to, oh, women are this oppressed class and life is so hard for women. And I remember when I read the monologue and then when I heard it, it's literally impossible to be a woman. Actually, no, it's not, because there are billions of them who do it every day. So it's not literally impossible. They do it quite successfully. And two, you know what else it's literally impossible to be? A man. Because while it's different, the things that are difficult for men in life, those things are different. They're just as difficult as the things that women must overcome. Women must overcome difficult things. I'm not saying they don't, but the things they have to overcome are different than the things men have to overcome. But they both have things to overcome. The other thing about the movie, which is just so typical, is that of the Barbies, there's like a billion Barbies there, and they tick all the boxes. There's, of course, Barbie, who is Margot Robbie. Then there's, Black Barbie and Weird Barbie and Fat Barbie and Wheelchair Barbie and Trans Barbie, and you name it, there's a Barbie, and they're all there, and it's all. it just it feels like such a piece of corporate shallow, vapid entertainment that is meant to appease all of these different interest groups. And it's like, okay. But then just in terms of telling the story and the story it tells is not entertaining. It's idiotic. There's so many missed opportunities in this. It's crazy. Like I said, I felt the performances were not great. I thought Ryan Gosling crushed it. I thought once they left, I didn't dig Barbie Land the original time in there, like the songs and all this stuff. But I thought, like, okay, well, this is the movie. Okay, I can ride this. But then once they hit the real world, I thought the Will Ferrell stuff was just dog shit. So stupid. And then when they come back to the real world and, like, you know, they have to sort of trick the Kens. They have to lie to them and deceive them and to get what they want because, of course, the matriarchy is wonderful. And I'm thinking, okay, that sounds great. Has anybody ever heard of Margaret Thatcher? I guess not. God knows if women ran everything, there'd be no wars. And I'm like, do you know the women who are in office? Like, if Nikki Haley becomes president, I'm sorry, we're going to war. That's what's going to happen. I mean, the same thing with Hillary Clinton. Like, they're no different than these idiotic men. You know, come on. Anyway, I'm getting off the track. I didn't like the movie at all. And I think people who love it, I think it's just a way for them to sort of signal their virtue, that this is a movie you're supposed to love. And there have been so many articles in the last few days telling me about the crime it is that Gerwig and Robbie were not nominated, and that proves the point of the film about the patriarchy we live in and all these things. And it's like, it's so stupid because there's never an argument about the quality of the film. The argument is always, this is the first film made by a woman to make over $1 billion, the first film made by a woman that was number one at the box office. How is it that's not rewarded? And of course, you and I both know, you made a perfect example, Transformers. Michael Bay was not nominated for the Transformer movies. You know why?
Because it's not a good movie.
Right.
The taking that track with Transformers, they changed things for the corporate, like, those of us that grew up with Transformers, Bumblebee, the old Volkswagen Bug, kind of the one car that had nothing cool, but like the humans identified with it because you have all these like crazy, you know, they can fly, they can shoot. And then the one that the boy gets stuck with is this little beetle. And it's like these two kind of, you know, we're not good enough, but we got to make our way through. And then they make a movie, and of course you get a car company and they're like, well, we can't have a car that we don't make anymore. Let's have a wink, wink, nod. But then it's immediately change it to be one of the coolest cars in the whole movie. And you're like, yeah, but that changes that's not how we related. We didn't like, we had the cool ones, but because most of us felt like nerds and we were loners. And by the way, this is what's funny is that when you get older, very few people growing up felt like they were cool and like attractive and well-liked. We all had that, like, you know, kind of misfit-ness to us. I don't know what word I'm trying to say there, but you get it. And so like Transformers, there was a structure because in the cartoons, you know, they were coming here trying to get energy cubes so they could fly back to their homeworld. It's not a very depth one. So if you're going to make this series of movies, you got to expand upon that. And so Barbie's interesting because it's like there isn't a storyline to Barbie. Every girl that ever played with a Barbie can have whatever she wants. So I think there's a freeness if you're going to create that world. And there's also like, okay, well, how do I make this universal for all girls that might have been doing different stories? Someone from a poor, you know, that only had one Barbie that didn't have any of the accessories has a different interaction than someone who had all the accessories, and someone whose family fell apart has different than had a family together. So like, it's not a cohesive story, which is why Barbie works so well as the imaginary friend, the representation as a doll. But now we're going to put structure and like a box around it when you make it into a movie, which can be dangerous. So the fact that they found a box that made $1.44 billion, you picked a good box because it's the entertainment business. It's what you want to do. And I'll say this. Margot Robbie, like anybody that wants to argue about her looks, has no idea of the talent and the brains behind this woman, because like I hear her talk about like how she wanted to create the Harley Quinn character. And how she, when she made Birds of Prey, you can argue if it's a good movie. I never saw it. But like, she knew instantly this character needs other people to play off of. Like, you can't have a solo movie. And we've talked about this other ones where male counterparts, they'll have a spinoff movie and you're like, no, you don't work. Like, Tom Holland doesn't work on his own. He needs that interplay. And Tom Holland doesn't have that intelligence to understand where Margot Robbie does. So Margot Robbie is not only like a good actress, she's not only a good business person, she's got her head on straight. And like, literally, I think she probably was the perfect choice for Barbie. The hardest part about that is Barbie is not the most interesting character in the movie, which sucks, because you would think that that would be, you know, how to do it. But like, she's witnessing things and she's going around and she's kind of like the eyes of it. But because you have to set up this world that you're in, I don't know, it somehow lessens it. But the thing that the people who get mad about, you know, whether or not she deserved to be nominated, is I go back to Enchanted. Amy Adams, multiple Academy Award nominee, crushed going from a cartoon into the real world, and that like melding of the two worlds, absolutely flawless, was an Oscar nomination. It does not diminish how good she was. It doesn't diminish how smart she is. It doesn't diminish what sort of acting talent she has. Like, when you make certain movies do not lend themselves to be nominated by the Academy Awards. Now, the biggest thing I would say is Ryan Gosling was good as Ken. I don't think it was good enough to be nominated. You know, I didn't think the role was that good in comparison to everything else out there. That should be the argument more so than anything, that like, not that they were snubbed. It's like, why did he get picked? Because I don't think he deserves to be nominated for Academy Award for that role. It probably was. I can't think of a role that was better in the movie. So he's the highlight. But I do think I had heard enough. I hate it when I see movies late, especially when they kind of are a touchstone for kind of the whole culture wars. Like, when movies get picked up and then everybody fights, now it's like loaded. Like, you can't right. Get it out of your heads. You're like, ah. But what I had heard is, obviously I heard it was a pro like feminist movie. It was obviously attacking the patriarchy, but I had heard that like, it was kind of like almost allowing each side to kind of see each other. And I was like, oh, well maybe because they're touching on these subjects, everyone gets blown up, but nobody calms down and they can kind of see through, because that happens all the time. We see stuff and you're like, okay, well, yeah, I get why you're worked up, but did you watch it? You know, it's like, okay. And so I was interested when we got to the end, the resolution. I'm like, okay, we've made our cases. You know, Barbie Land's great. They leave the world. The patriarchy's bad. You know, women have it hard. You know, the whole Ken role. Because what's interesting is, like, I think a lot of women didn't see, like, as a man, when you see Ken in the original Barbie Land, that's a terrible place for men. Like, okay. I'm like, boy, that seems like a version of hell, which then helps me identify with then when women can say, hey, you don't have that same experience. But in, you know, this world, I can feel that way. And I feel like, okay, is this a way to bridge where we can come together and be like, okay, I don't have your experience, but I can better understand you and you can better understand me. And we can come together as the best versions of ourselves to make the world better. I'm like, oh, well, maybe this is where we're going. And then the ending of the movie, I was like, I feel like the message I'm taking out of this is that men and women really aren't meant for each other. and that there's no way for men and women to be supportive of each other to make the world better. Like, it has to be a power struggle where one wins over the other one, and that's the only way. And I'm like, boy, that seems like everything that you would think is bad about the patriarchy, you know, keeping women at their under the boot of men, and then in Barbie Land the reverse happens. I'm like, well, that doesn't seem like a good idea either. Like, it just seems like a weird, like, it's like,
right,
I was confused. I'm like, I don't, either I'm reading the movie wrong, or it's like, why would we want to celebrate that as the outcome? If we say that this side is wrong over here, that what men do to women in this sort of structure, why would we want to invert that? And then to me, I'm watching it, I'm like, well, it seems like they say that the inverse would be that all the bad stuff would just go away. If, and I'm like, it just seems like, it seems, I guess the word that you use is like a toxic or bad, or, I mean, I wouldn't want my daughter or son to watch this movie and go, I've learned something for how I want the world to be and how I should be as that gender. Mm-hmm. Like, it, and I'm like, okay, well then what's the purpose of this? Like, it could either just be a fun nostalgic movie, like something like Toy Story, where you remember, oh yeah, I love that toy. But like, this put in, this decided to tackle real world stuff, which is great, because that's when movies are at their best. You can keep them entertained and have a point. I have a hard time that at the end, the point that I was coming away with, I don't think does anything but contribute to the clashing of the sexes, which I think there's more than enough of that we need to work on. Less clashing, more partnership, more I understand you, you understand me. This is how we each get better, as opposed to like, ah, my side's better than your side. The side thing is overdone on all fronts right now in the world. And I think it just leads to nothing but more problems. So this seems to be a movie that celebrates potentially staying in more problems. And that's concerning to me.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you shared that. Obviously, Barry speaks for the misogynist wing. And so when you think like, oh, what does a misogynist think of Barbie? Now we know. Now we got to hear from Barry. No, I think you make a legitimate point. It always frustrates me when a film or a book or whatever, or in real life, it bothers me the most in real life, quite frankly, when the argument is like, oh, those people are oppressing us. We need to oppress them. And it's like, oh, okay. So we understand that to, you know, quote unquote, oppress someone is the wrong thing to do. But what we want to do is just reverse who's in charge so that other people are oppressed and other people are not, as opposed to like, hey, let's try and work out where there's not oppression here, you know? And anyway, so to get back to the point that I was saying about the film's politics, its cultural politics, its feminism, and that I found it so off-putting. The important reason about why I find it off-putting is how it's delivered. It is so heavy-handed and so obvious and so trite. And so it feels like, you know, Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach, you know, read like some freshman level intro to feminism course, you know, at some community college or something. And then they just regurgitate these sort of talking points. And when I talk about like, I may disagree with those points, but if they're presented in a good way, if a film is good and it has that perspective, I'm all in. And a perfect example of this is a film which I saw recently. It's a film, Poor Things. It stars Emma Stone. It's directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, who is a man, just to be clear. And it has, if not identical, then very, very similar cultural politics to Barbie. And it rings very similar because it's basically a Frankenstein story about a woman is created and is controlled and then goes through this maturation process and goes out into the world. Sound familiar? And sees the real world and is horrified by the cruelty of it and sort of goes through this evolution. Poor Things is, in my opinion, and hopefully we will talk about it, it's nominated for a bunch of Academy Awards. It's one of the best films of the year. Undoubtedly. Unquestioningly. It is phenomenal. Emma Stone is amazing in it. One of the best performances I've seen in years. And Yorgos Lanthimos crushes this movie. His direction is astounding. It is original. It is very creative. He presents an artistic vision, which is undeniable. And it's all about all the same politics. Men are portrayed in very similar ways as they are in Barbie. You know, it's these sort of varying stripes of villainy. And yet, that movie is fantastic. And there's an ending to the movie where you, I'm sure, by people's political affiliations or their cultural politics, people will take different things from the ending of the movie. That's what makes the movie so brilliant. Is you can think, look at it and be like, oh, this was fun. Oh my God, this is how it ended. That's great. Or people can be like, oh wow, that's really smart how they ended that movie. And the thing about Poor Things as compared to Barbie is Poor Things is not just really clever, it's really smart. And it's really funny, like laugh out loud funny. And it's subversive. It is all the things the people who love Barbie say it is, but which Barbie isn't. And Barbie is it smart? No, not really. I think it's intentionally sort of stupid. Is it clever? No, frankly. Is it subversive? No. No matter what the writers in the New York Times or the Washington Post or whomever want to tell you how the LA Times want to tell you how subversive this movie is, it's not. It's giving you mainstream corporate perspective on these issues. So the subversive nature of it would be if you were to undermine that notion in some way, and that never happens. And so I've gotten, not surprisingly, this happens all the time. People get really pissed at me for the stuff I write, or if I meet them in person, the stuff I say, or if they listen to the podcast. And I get called all sorts of various names, you know, the typical stuff like, oh, you're sexist, you're racist, you're this and that. I'm like, okay, well, whatever, I don't give a fuck. I always bring it back to the film. And this is such a perfect example. I don't care about Barbie's politics if the movie is good. So Poor Things has the same politics, but it's a great, great movie. Now, is that because a man directed it? I don't think so. I think anybody... He was really gifted, could do that. He just happens to have a penis, right?
The pushback I'm going to give you, though, I hear what you're saying. However, Poor Things is allowed to be an art house movie where the director really has control of whatever the heck they want to do. Greta did not have full control. Like, Mattel's in there. Like, you know. Right. Like,
but
this,
but that's her choice.
Dude, but I'm saying, like, you'd have to be, like, the reason that most of these big movies like Transformers and stuff don't work on a depth level is because they can't. Like, it goes into like groups of people, goes into focus groups, goes into stuff.
Right. So, and that's the same reason why the Marvel and the Star Wars movies no longer work and everything. Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of a more mainstream movie that was able. I mean, the closest, I mean, it's not cultural politics, but like part of the reason that I liked The Dark Knight is you had a comic book movie that made people think about morality and like stuff like that. When they're on the boat, like, do you blow up the prisoners or do you blow up the, you know, it's like these are bigger questions that as humanity, not as men and women, as humanity have to wrestle with. And it's like you get that interjected in a big fluff piece and you're like, oh, this adds depth to it. Barbie, I think, as much as I didn't like, I mean, in general, I'm looking for ways for to find the connection in humanity. Like we were just talking on our last podcast about Killers of the Flower Moon. How do you connect with these people? Like we're all different. You got people who are racist. You got people who are this. You got people who are that. But there are some commonalities in some of the best stories that have ever come out is finding people who were able to transition from one train of thought into a more accepting that like we're human. We're all having struggles. Like it's not unique to any one of us. And I think about this movie is take that aside. This movie was set up just like the way the world was shot and stuff like that, that this should have just been like, it should have been more humorous. And a lot of the scenes that were executed to be humorous, the most infamous being the I'm going to beat you off scene, literally is like, it's not funny. Like, you know what I mean?
Just like, he's saying that. It's like, but, I hope somebody captures that audio. And just has it as their like phone, their ringtone.
But to me, I think the reason that it somewhat worked is because I think a certain percentage, not of the females, but just of the perception going in and kind of buying into it, it is kind of there. It's a mockery of men that can be like cathartic when you've had horrible experiences with bad men. Like, I think there's like, I think there's something that men will never understand when terrible things happen to women on behest of men, what that does collectively to them. And I think that was leaking out in that scene, but it made it not accessible for the whole. And not every movie has to be accessible to everybody. But I feel like in a movie like this, they nailed some of it with the Ken parts when he goes from being neutered in Barbie land, he goes in the real world, starts to have some manly power, and he's like, oh, I like this.
Right.
I understand that. I can then understand from women's side, we're like, oh, we've never had that, and now we're getting this, and we like that. That's a connection point. We're like, oh, okay. But then they put in these scenes where it's just like, hey, this is inside joke between us at the expense of you because we don't, you know, care for you or these characters that represent you. And then it's like, you know, they say punching up, punching down in comedy. It felt like the comedy A wasn't funny, but then it was like trying to lure you in. But then it's like, yeah, but you're mocking me.
Right.
You know, in it. And then it's like, you know, I've seen it done the opposite way. And then women are like, well, that's not funny. And you're like, yeah, it's not. You know, comedy has to be more broad and have like a connection. But I didn't think most of the comedy worked. With the exception of, I think, by far the best two were Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling. But it was like Margot didn't have as much to do. America Ferrera, like that whole line with like her daughter, like she has a teenage daughter that doesn't like her. That's universal. Like 100%, that's like a good. But then how they, obviously, I saw the twist coming that it was her that had called Barbie into the world, not her daughter. That wasn't, but. That's done in 1,000 movies. It's not something I'm going to die over because I don't mind formulaic movies. But then the winning back of her daughter, in like it went from like a farce, like Barbie came to life. Like you have things like Elf, you have things like Enchanted.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't convert people in like two scenes and like, yeah, this is Barbie. I'm going to go help you, mom. Mom, you're my like best friend. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It's like a forced pivot that doesn't work. That like what it would have should have been something more like Miracle on 34th Street, where you know America Ferrera is like and nobody's listening, and then at the end when something happens the daughter's like, oh, I've still been like mean to my mom, I've still been trying to find my own way, but like my mom was right, and like wow, this is special, and it changes the look, and it's like it'd be more profound, like connective, because you're like, that's what people always talk about, like you got to ride out the teenage years with your kids as they kind of find their own way, and we all want the quick fix where you can just be like snap your fingers and we're all connected, but it doesn't happen that way. And I feel like there's so many other ways you could have told the story within the framework, what they did, that could have made it more melodramatic, would have made for some teary moments or some connection points. Or, you know, if you do turn to your right or left and there's a guy or girl sitting next to you and you're kind of like, oh yeah, this is, you know, like if Barbie's supposed to give the impression of the best possible version of the world, which is what always people talk about. It's like, you know, it empowers women. It shows that they're strength. Like, these are all things that are good in the best version of the world. But yet at the end of the movie, it's like, yeah, no, if you turn to the guy sitting next to you, you're like, yeah, but you don't really get to be in the, you know,
right,
in politics. You know, really get to be in control. And you're like, where's the, hey, you can be powerful. You can be powerful, but our strengths together, you know, that's the best world. And, you know, maybe at the heart of it, that's not, you know, what wants to be said. And I'm looking for a different movie, but it does feel weird.
That's really profound, man, and insightful, because I had not connected Barbie to Elf. That's a really, really smart connection to make, because the blueprint is right there.
Yep.
Right. And of course, I think of that because I watch Elf every year.
Awesome.
I saw it in the theaters, and I've watched it, you know, for certainly since my son was born, every year. And we love it. And that movie never fails to move me to tears. And it's because that climax is so good. I mean, everybody connects with that on some level, because you're right. It's a coming together. It's bringing people together around this unified experience. Now, is everybody going to be brought together of that? Are Muslims or Jews or whatever? Or, you know, probably not, because they don't celebrate that holiday. But even people who aren't religious, of course, celebrate the holiday, and that brings them together. And you're so right about the thing. It's been elusive to me to understand that Barbie has nothing. It doesn't bring anyone together. It only reinforces the disconnect, the differing opinion, and it only drives a wedge further between that, as opposed to being like, oh, hey, you know. And this is what my wife was saying, was just like, you come out of that movie thinking, oh man, ugh, the patriarchy, oh, I'm so angry about this, and like, why are men like that, as opposed to being like, oh hey, we actually have quite a bit in common. And like I said about the America Ferrera monologue, you know, it's literally impossible to be a woman. I'm not saying women don't have those difficulties. I'm saying everybody has difficulties, and you can come together on them, even if they're different difficulties that you, obstacles you must overcome, right?
I agree with you, but I would counter with, this movie was aimed at women. So I don't think this movie has to have the equivocality of men's struggles. This can be a representation and a cathartic outlet for women on there. Let's bring it back to Elf for a second. This is what's interesting. So in Elf, more of a male dominated movie, but you have, you know, strong female characters. But look at his dad, James Caan. As a man, that man is despicable. He's everything. Like, I hate men like that. You know, it's like, he doesn't seem like he's nice to his wife. He ignores his child. He's, you know, basically unscrupulous in business. He doesn't treat, like, literally there's nothing redeemable in the character at all. And yet we watch a guy, and what I love is, look at his wife. This is a perfect example. His wife, we don't know why she loves him. We don't get to see enough of their relationship. But, like, you could tell that there's some tension there, but she's genuinely still loves him. And then when this starts happening, she's basically like, I can't do this for you, but you need to figure this out. Like, she'll put up enough blocks, but she doesn't ever just say, hey, I'm going to judge you and all your faults. It's like, this is a fault that you have to overcome, and I'll put some things up, but that doesn't, I don't need to demean you for it. I don't need to dismiss you for it, but I'm going to, in fact, challenge you to be a better man. And that's the best case. So, like, I look at that and watch it, I'm like, wow, what an amazing wife he has. because when he gets lost, he's got someone that can challenge. And conversely, that could happen from a husband to a wife. But it is weird how the character in the movie that's most unlikable is of the same gender. So it's like, where is that in this movie? It's like all the, you know, it's like, sometimes I think people forget that when men make movies, we have to wrestle with the fact that, like, not all men are great. And we just hope that men will get better. And not saying all directors do that, but it, using the elf thing, this is a man that was flawed that needed to get better. And it took the women in his life. It took his kids. It took the magic of a fucking elf coming from Santa's workshop, because this man needed so much help and there was progress. But, like, does that mean that he's never going to result? I mean, my favorite movie of all time is It's a Wonderful Life. And people talk about, you know, it's this great feel good ending, but, like, George Bailey still's not a great business guy, you know, not like there's not, it's not like all problems are solved, but it just shows you when the world kind of collapses on you, when you have a community, you have a strong family, you have friends that support you, you can get through those, but it doesn't mean that then you snap your fingers tomorrow and it's all fixed. And it's like that element, the reason that those movies become timeless is because as you age, as a kid, as a middle age, as a parent, as a, you know, watching grandkids, you see how freaking hard life is. And what we really hope is that every person at every stage still wants to get a little bit better, have a little bit more connection. And this movie didn't have that in its story at all. The connection was with, like, women, let's talk about our childhood memories and let's talk about the hard and the trauma that's been dealt. And so it really was not as universal. I know they said we want men to come and watch Ryan Gosling's story, but at the heart of it, it was more of a woman's kind of collective for bad experiences, which makes me sad because it shows you just how big that group is and how horrible that's been for them. And it makes me really go, wow. Like, I've know of circumstances that happened, but you're like, it is widespread everywhere. And it's like, I don't like that, but I'd like to figure out how do we improve that a little bit. But this movie doesn't allow for that. It just, you have to sit in there and then you end up being like, boy, I'm part of the bad group. And it doesn't, it takes away the power to, like, how do we make it better? It's just like, well, boy, this is kind of,
yeah,
we have to go to a fantasy world to fix it. And I want to fix it in this world, not in fantasy world.
Yeah. And it's, so you're absolutely right. It's really a grievance film.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Yeah, that's a good term.
It's fueled by grievance, which is not to say that grievance is not earned, right? That there are people, many, many, many women who have been wronged and harmed by men, and without question. But the point I was trying to make about the speech about, you know, it's impossible to be a woman is that's true of men as well. And not to say, like, oh, you have to have that same speech, but just that to have some sort of coming together at the end, a resolution where men can be redeemed or at least seen as redeemable.
Yes. Yeah, that's James Caan.
Right.
He seemed as redeemable, which he didn't think was possible.
Right. And so that's the point. So it's not about, like, we have to have equal storytelling or whatever, but just that there could be a path for redemption for this group of people. And I think that's the problem, is that there's no resolution that involves that, where it's like, because look, yes, this is a movie made for women, unquestionably. Not just women went and saw it, but it is made for women. But, you know, women are interesting in that they all have a father. Many of them have a spouse. Many of them have sons, right? So this is the point that I've always made in these, you know, in these culture war issues, is like, you know, whenever anybody's like, shut up, this doesn't have to do with you. This is like with the Me Too stuff, like there were all these people saying, like, men shouldn't comment on this. Shut up. And the argument, of course, is like, no, actually, men should comment on this, because if you want to understand what's going on in the world, you have to understand if men are doing something wrong, you have to hear from men, right? This is important. And it's a way to get multiple perspectives on an issue. So I always find that sort of shouting down to be silly. But this film, the lack of that cathartic ending, a catharsis in which not just Barbie and the women are, their catharsis gives them more power than they had at the beginning. And they already had all the power at the beginning because we're in Barbie land, which is the matriarchy. And, but the catharsis should have been just like Elf, right? Where through the power of Elf's, Will Ferrell's character, through his unabashed love, the gigantic heart that he has, his openness, his belief in humanity and people, transforms everyone he comes into contact with. And that's that love and open-heartedness and kindness is absolutely exiled from Barbie Land. It's never there to begin with. I get that that's like sort of the humor. It's this sort of cynical, sort of wink, wink type stuff. But like what that ends up happening at the end is there's no catharsis for the viewer. There's victory for people who are like, yeah, down with the patriarchy. But there's no catharsis of like, okay, but how do we come together? How can we see our opponent as having some sort of redeemable quality? Can they be redeemed? So that's what I found so, that's why my wife basically, she didn't basically, she turned to me and said what she said, you know, that this is damaging. And I think it is damaging. And for those exact reasons. And, you know, I would say the same thing about, you know, it's some stupid war movie that's like, you know, like American Sniper or some horse shit like that. It's the same thing of like, oh, yeah, well, let's go kill those brown people. Let's do it. You know, it's like, oh, great. What a wonderful movie.
It's hard to take one scene and say, how would this have changed? And I don't exactly remember. So I'm going off of memory and painting with broad strokes, but I remember at the end when kind of the Barbies retook control and stopped the men taking over the government and stuff like that. And I can't remember if it was Ken. I think it was Ken that said something about being in government, but it was kind of like, whoa, 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 whoa. We'll give you a small role. You know, it was kind of, there was like some interaction there. And I think it would have been interesting if it would have been like, if Ken's role would have seen kind of like been neutered in the beginning, seen some of the power, but it went too far. And then when he comes back, he's like, hey, you know, if there would have been something where then like it could have been, and he would have been like, well, maybe I should step away from that. Or maybe like, you know, it obviously, I saw the bad parts. And then if Barbie would have been like, no, you know, we need you there as much as we need to be there. We need to figure, you know, if there was something like that together where both of them were having to be like, yeah, comfort would say, I want all the power, or I want this to be that way. But in reality, that we've both seen what it is for the other person. And so we need to figure out where we come to a safe spot for both. And I feel like at that, you would have had people cheering in the aisles and people have been like, oh, yes, I love this journey. But because they didn't end it that way, it left it, like you said, it was made kind of for that cathartic, and I don't begrudge any of the women who enjoyed because of that, but it makes it a less accessible film. And I wonder if it would have hurt box office if they would have, you know, made an ending like that, or if it would have broadened. And I don't know. I don't, this might have been the best economic version of the movie, but I'm curious to see if you think that if they would have made it a little bit more cathartic or redeemable kind of answer for the real world, would that have made it more profitable or not?
I think the film is profitable because it expertly marketed. And I don't think I don't think it's sort of one track cultural politics are the reason why it succeeded. I think you can have that whole movie and then have a different ending that we've discussed. I think it would have been just as, if not more successful, just because people are going to go for all the reasons they went this time, right? All the grievances get aired and there's fun and there's all this sort of stuff. And then it's resolved like a sort of normal elf-esque movie, right? That everybody comes out of it feeling good. Unless you don't want to feel good, right? And let you know, you go see Elf and you're like, fuck that, fuck Christmas, fucking hate elves. It's for elves, you know. So yeah, I think it could have been successful. I think it was going to be successful regardless, just because of the sort of everything that was going on around it and the way it was set up. And
well, I mean, the reason it was going to be successful from the beginning is it's a like real movie aimed at women with the number one toy for like five generations, and you're finally bringing it to screen. I mean, there's very few IP that have that behind them. I mean, it was definitely going to be a success, and I would have never guessed it was going to be $1.44 billion. So
I didn't either. Yeah.
I predicted it would be successful, but not on that level. And that's how I said. I think Greta set herself up to have a nice career. I would like to see her grow and make better movies over time, because we've talked about some directors that were like, hey, they're going to be here. You know, are we excited to see what they do? Or do we hope that, you know, they find ways to make it more powerful or more interesting movies? And we'll see what happens moving forward, because she's going to wield a lot of power.
Yeah.
She's maybe getting to the level now where, like, if she did make another movie like this and they wanted to have panels, she might be able to say like, no, no panels. And then you can see, you know, what was kind of her influence and what was corporate America's. But I'll be curious to see what her follow-up is, because boy, oh boy.
Yeah, the word on the street is she's going to do C.S. Lewis, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe stuff. So we'll see. We'll see if Chronicles of Narnia. We'll see. Listen, I got to run because my phone's about to die. But any final thoughts?
No.
We've been doing this a while.
No, I mean, it's the sort of movie where I think, you know, some people love it, some people don't like it as much. It's not, you know, I just think it's kind of, you know, if you want to watch it, watch it. If you don't want to watch it, don't. I don't have a strong opinion.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Right. I don't think it's a great movie. I think it's, as a piece of entertainment, people enjoyed it. I think it's insane that people are freaking out that it didn't get these nominations. That's not the type of movie it is.
No, it's not.
And to argue that it is just inane. It's silliness. But you know, I mean, like Transformers and Elf did not get nominated. Yeah.
And Elf is like literally considered a classic, and people watch it over and over. And share generations, that doesn't lessen the movie. It doesn't mean that it's not good or it's not worthy. It's just, you just made a good movie and people can enjoy it. Just do it.
Yeah. And listen, if you love Barbie and this irritates you, our opinions on it, or my opinion, that's okay. But when you defend the movie, have an argument. Don't say, oh, it made so much money. Actually argue why you think the movie is good. Go ahead.
I'll just say the two highest grossing movies I think of all time, Avatar and Avatar 2.
Suck.
I haven't seen Avatar 2, but I can guarantee it's trash. So
those movies are fucking horrible.
Yeah, making money in movies is not, that it's a feat to make the money, but that does not equivocate with a good movie all the time.
Right. Exactly. All right, everybody. We appreciate you tuning in to Look at California Film Minnesota. We will see you next time at the movies.